A CSI-style tale of how some injectable drugs have been contaminated with fungal meningitis. The outbreak and contamination has been linked to a Massachusetts-based compounding pharmacy. Around 300 cases have been confirmed, well over a dozen deaths. 14,000 people could be at risk. The drugs in question are injectable steroids, and Dr. John Perfect, if that isn't a name from a TV show, I don't know what is, he's actually the head of the infectious disease division at Duke University Med School. He says and writes in the New England Journal that a similar outbreak a decade ago may provide some insights in today's meningitis infection.
These two outbreaks, both the one in 2002 and the one this year, show that when these fungi, particularly organisms like what we call dematiaceous fungi or black molds, are put into steroid-containing conditions, that they can amplify and become fairly aggressive when they're injected into tissue, whether that's the steroids affecting the fungus itself or actually decreasing the immune activity when they are injected into the tissue is still not known, but a very attractive, interesting issue of trying to understand why that occurs.
Well, attractive and terrifying in the sense that what you are saying here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's a possibility that the steroid medicine itself is acting on the contaminant and making it much more powerful.
John, that's a very interesting issue. I don't think we have data on that, but surely one has to be concerned that that it's happened twice with the steroids. If you look at the infection itself today, this was injected around what we call the parameningeal area or around the area of the spinal canal. But this organism actually was able to then invade into what we call the meninges or the subarachnoid space. That is very, very unusual to actually do that. And they also did that in 2002. So I think we have to be concerned and probably need to study why and if this steroid actually impacted on the fungus itself while it was in the vial. But we don't know that for certain.
All right, then let's play a little CSI here for the armchair detective. Is there a piece to this puzzle that you don't have right now that if you had it would suggest a much clearer sense of, all right, here's what we have to do?
I think that what probably has to do in the kind of CSI type thing is to go back to look very closely at how things are compounded, look at how we treat these compounding pharmacies, and just be sure that our sterility is as good as it could be. These are organisms that are part of the environment. These are organisms that could and have contaminated solutions, and therefore we have to make sure that our systems are protective of that from not occurring again.
But you're not saying compounding pharmacists are guilty here?
John, compounding pharmacy is part of the major cornerstone of pharmacy today. There is no question that this is a very important amount of how we deliver drugs. The pharmaceutical companies do very standard type of medications, but patients are not all standard. And in fact, I think it's extraordinarily important, and I'm not a pharmacist, it's extraordinarily important that we are able to have compounding pharmacies doing what they have done and continue to do day in and day out safely in the vast, vast majority of patients.
All right. Well, thanks so much for those insights.
Thank you, John.
Dr. John Perfect is professor of medicine and chief of the infectious diseases division at Duke University Medical Center.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage of The Takeaway is supported in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org, and the Rockefeller Foundation. More at rockfound.org.